You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm going to leave off the mics of Scott Santis and Senator Dan Katowski because I feel like they've gotten a little slap happy. You know what? It actually is. I'm just teasing you guys. Don't throw things. Deborah, you see what's going on in the studio.
I do. Yeah. It is, what, 11:30 at night, and the studio is turned up.
We have Garrett's popcorn, by the way, if you want to go ahead and have some of that Garrett's popcorn, please. we had donuts last week. There's always some good stuff in studio, but mostly good people having great conversation.
Great.
It's interesting that you play It's the End of the World. I know that Scott has other ideas for what that is, but I do have to say that for many people, and I would say most, finding out that your child has a disability, has special needs, or that your hopes and dreams aren't quite what you thought they were going to be, it feels like the end of the world, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It does, you know, but being a woman, being a mother, you go into overdrive and say, okay, what's next? Now, men, it's another story. Sorry, guys, you know, no jabs, but it's different for men. It was definitely different for my husband.
Oh, yeah.
Jason was diagnosed at 18 months. And he was a preemie, so he's 2 pounds, six ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that he was going to be developmentally challenged anyway. And so my husband just kept saying, oh, he'll be fine. Oh, he'll be fine. He kept saying he'll be fine until he was 8 years old.
Yeah.
And then it finally hit him. But in answer to your question, it is. For lack of better words, it like sucks the breath out of you.
And when they gave you the diagnosis at 18 months, because this is something I've talked to a lot of people in the medical profession about, coming in with that information, because every single doctor has their own tact, their own way of doing it. And for us, we had a doctor who, when Declan was born, told us that our son may never walk, he may never talk. My son was also medically challenged. And there's something about being told all the nevers before you even have had a chance to really even catch up with what's happening in the moment of the now. Now you're being told the rest of your life, the rest of your child's life. And that's an impossible place to live, is never. And what you do is empower people to know that here's a plan. Were you given a plan at that diagnosis?
Not at 18 months.
No.
It actually came to me, I think, when Jason was about 7. But I was in denial for a very long time about the task that I know that God gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And I took off running when Jason was, 2007, he's 29 now. So I guess he was, what, maybe 19?
Okay.
18, 19. So it took a long time for me to just take that charge because I was dealing with some things in my life personally. So I had to get all that together and then say, okay, well, it's time to help somebody else. And the Answer Incorporated was born.
Well, tell us about the Answer Incorporated.
Well, the Answer Incorporated is a 501c3 non-for-profit that is dedicated to providing support, resources, education, recreation, and advocacy, not just for families impacted by autism, but developmental disorders across the board. Because as we begin to service families with autism, we begin to get families that had children with Down syndrome, with mm-hmm. children that, because a lot of our children are dually diagnosed. They might have autism, Down syndrome, autism, ADD, autism developmentally challenged. So I couldn't say, Ms. Vance, can you help me? Oh, no, I can't help. Absolutely. Yes, we can help you. So, I started the agency from a blueprint of being a parent. Lack of services in communities of color and underserved communities. It wasn't any services in my community. I actually had to go outside of my community to even just to get a support group, to get help for myself, let alone talking about help for Jason. I had to just go out to Plainfield, Aurora, the east side of Chicago, and I lived in a proviso township, and that just bothered me. And I told my husband one day, I was actually working for Ceasefire, and we lost the funding, and I told my husband, I said, I don't want to go back to work. I want to do the Answer Incorporated. And he said, okay, let's do it.
That's fantastic. I mean, and that's really, so much of it is knowing that you have someone who is your teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's your spouse, you have your own parents, if you have people in your community, you have to have somebody.
I definitely could not do this without my husband. I couldn't, because I have not worked for anyone else since 2007. And my husband has been my rock. Coming to the studio at 11:30 at night,
yes, thank
what
you.
What husband does that?
Thank you to both of
James,
our husbands.
You are listening. I love you. But he has definitely been my biggest cheerleader. He, you know, I'm hardly ever home. It's hours and hours when I'm not home. And he's there taking care of Jason and just taking care of things in the house. And I definitely could not do this without his support.
When you say that Jason is 29 years old, so this is the thing that, you know, it never, it's, it, we have a different path than mm-hmm. so many people. My son is low, I guess I always, the low functioning thing, the high functioning thing, I never know how to explain it to people, but when your son is still in diapers at 11 years old, I don't know what else to tell you.
He
can't speak. He will need lifelong care. We laugh about how much I do CrossFit and stair climb.
You have to. I got an 8:30 appointment at the gym in the morning. You yeah. have to stay fit to be a special needs mom, because if you don't, it will wear you down.
Yeah, they get strong.
Oh my God.
And they, because they get frustrated, mm-hmm. they, you know, have a different way of communicating. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you, so you're going to be up at 8:30 working out. Where's, I need to see some of your videos.
I will actually be there at 8 a.m. Okay. I work out with a trainer 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I get real jazzy and I go on my own. But you know, I'm close to 60 years old. So
no,
I'll be 59 in June.
Come on.
Yes.
See, you, it's moms like you that help me remember that I can do it. And each mom Absolutely. in this journey has to be there for the next mom, whether it's just by example or talking or being available. Because I saw a mom in Springfield giving one of the hearings, the committee hearings for the budget committee, and she is in her 70s, Angie, and her son. He's an adult with significant disabilities in his 40s, and the only word he knows is mommy. And while she was giving testimony, he was rocking back and forth and just saying, mommy, it's the only word you heard above hers, was him asking for her. And when they were done, she walked out with him and I followed them. And he just walks back and forth, just like my Declan does, just exploring, just looking, walking back and forth in his 40s. And she had to take him to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Do you have these moments where you see another mom that's younger than you with a younger child and go and like just want them to know you're going to make it?
Absolutely. That's one of the components of the answer that's very, 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 very strong, important to me, is empowering parents to be able to empower another parent.
Yes.
Because at the same time that I'm talking to you, someone else should be talking to another parent mm-hmm. in the grocery store, down the street, not just even being a parent of a child with a disability, but just, you know, even our studio guests. Knowing if you don't have a child with a disability, and the little bit that you know, and I know, Senator, you know a lot because you actually signed on to the bill that was signed on to law, Senate Bill 226. Thank you very much. You know a little bit about a disability. And if you see someone in the grocery store and you just want to encourage them, even if it's not but a smile or a hang in there, or you want to go first in line, you know, we just need support. And we, you know, special needs is always the lowest on the totem pole. Mm-hmm. They talk about crime. You talk about mentoring kids. You talk about the elderly.
Education.
And I am not minimizing any of those causes.
No.
But the disabled is by the way.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, autism. Oh, by the way, developmental disorder. It's by the way. So my charge is to empower people, empower the community, empower the legislators. And the legislators in my district are so grateful for the Answer Incorporated, so they can have some place to send their constituents when they call their offices and say, where can I go for a support group? Where can I go to help send my kid to camp? Who can help me advocate at an IEP meeting? Mm-hmm. Who can tell me about the PONS list? Who can just be there to listen to me that understands why my kid is up at 2:00 in the morning and won't stop screaming? Who celebrates me and not tolerate me?
Yeah, that's the hard thing.
And that's what we do.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. I am hanging out with Deborah Vines, who is the CEO of The Answer, Inc. How can people find more information?
You can call us at 708-296-5651, or you can go to our website at theanswerinc.org.
And you can call us right now, 312-981-7200, if you have any questions or comments for any of our guests. Deborah is really a fascinating woman, and I know that people... They get this sort of guard up, and no one wants to feel like they've done something wrong. And here's my point of view: is I'm not asking you to make my life easier, or the life of my son easier, mm-hmm. or of Deborah's son, or of Holly Simon's son. We're not asking you to make our lives easier, but you know, for God's sake, don't make it harder. More after this. Yeah, I'm talking to you, State of Illinois. More after this on WGN 720. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me are Thursday regulars, Scott Santis, the political cartoonist. I can't believe
Oh, first time in weeks.
How did I mess up cartoonist? Okay. Scott Santas from the Chicago Tribune joins us, and Senator Dan Katowski, who has been a both of them are champions for people who live in Illinois, actually for people everywhere who are dealing with epilepsy, special needs, developmental delays. Deborah Vines, a warrior. I call you guys champions. She's a warrior champion. She has created The Answer, Inc., and you have an event coming up on Monday I want to make sure people know about.
Yes, we are having an open house. Although this is our 10th year anniversary, 2017, we started in September of 2007. So I was thinking that we would start from ground zero, because a lot of the participants that we're servicing right now are in their 20s and some of them in their 30s. So a lot of times when family members first get the diagnosis, like you just said earlier, it just sucks the air out of them, and they really don't get the momentum going until the kids is like 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. So we want to catch those parents early so that they can really get a jump start with their children. And by the time they get old as our kid, my son is now, they can be better. Because it's no cure for autism. It's no cure.
No. And
they have not found a cure. No. I'm not a doctor, but just from what I read and from what I'm experiencing, I have not seen a cure, but I have seen children
get
better.
But don't you know that some of us like being victims? Jenny McCarthy said so.
You said that.
We don't work hard enough. We're not trying hard enough to cure our children. We like being victims, and we like people feeling sorry for us.
You know what?
By the way, do you all know that's how I got this job? Was responding to that particular moment in life. Yes.
Well, people really don't feel sorry for us.
No.
It's pity.
Thank you. Pity and feeling sorry are different things.
It's different. They feel pity. It's like, oh my God. And you
how
know,
can
a,
you do
a woman
it? I can
asked
never
me
do
one
that.
Time. Mm-hmm. A woman asked me one time. She had 5 children, and they were really wayward kids too. And she said, "Do you hate that your son has autism? Don't that just..." And I looked at her kids, and I looked at Jason. I said, okay, I don't have to worry about my son getting a gang. I don't have to worry about him dropping out of school. I don't have to worry about him getting somebody pregnant. I don't have to worry about him being on drugs. You do the math.
I know. We can, you know, and then there are always the opposites, right?
But getting back to the open house, this Monday, January 23rd at 6:00 at the Forest Park Community Center from 6 to 8. And we have an array of service providers that are going to be coming as well. And at the open house, we will be giving out applications if you are interested in your child or adult from age 7 to 50. To attend horseback riding camp in June.
What?
We are sponsoring, but we only have a certain amount of slots available.
How can we sponsor kids to be part of this?
You can call 708-296-5651, or you can send your checks to The Answer Incorporated, 7600 West Roosevelt Road, Forest Park, 60130.
And how much does it cost to sponsor a child?
$300.
Okay. Senator, I got one. You got one?
All right, I'm in.
Scott?
Yes.
All right.
Yay.
Absolutely. We just got you 3 riders right there.
All righty.
Do you take credit cards?
We do.
All right, then. All good. We have families on the line. We have a gentleman on the line. I don't know if it's a gentleman or not. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Good, Patty. It's Chris Combs. How are you?
Oh, hey. Great to hear from you. Thank you. What do you want to ask Deborah about?
Hey, great conversation tonight, and I'll be really quick because I'm running short on time. But I have a cousin, Jamie Mueller, who is originally from Madison, Wisconsin, and now lives in Germany. And she gave birth last year to 2 twins about a year ago. And one of them has developmental disability, cerebral palsy. And so she lives across the pond in Germany, and I just was lucky enough to see her visiting with her doing some work here in the States this week. How can I be supportive to her and her family, even though I'm not here locally to her? How can I be supportive across the miles to her?
Ask her what she needs. Just ask her. She'll tell you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And be sincere when you ask her. Don't, you know, just be, because you sound really humble and sincere now. And when you ask her, just say, look, I just want to help, and I don't know what to do. Just ask her, because if you go in just trying to do things that she doesn't need, it's a waste of your time, and she's not going to need it. But if you ask her, she'll tell you what she needs.
Great.
And thank you. Thank you for your support.
Well, here, Deborah, what would you tell someone that you need or have had in the past? Like, I would say, you know, permission to be, I would need someone to help me clean the house, whether it's hiring somebody. you know, we have not had a babysitter in 3 years who's qualified to watch Declan.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Even like gift cards for meals, to know that she doesn't have to take care of meals for a couple nights a week or something.
I would say something like that, something like housekeeping, or take me and Jason to the grocery store so I won't have to drive and you can entertain him while I get the groceries, or just hang out with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I would say,
every parent will be different.
I would say, listen to me on the phone. Listen to me when I'm venting and don't say a word. Don't say, I know what you mean, or you should do it like this. Just listen to me, because a lot of parents just need somebody to listen to them.
Chris, yeah, I hope that helps. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you, Chris.
And be sure to put me down with my credit card, too.
Thank you.
Hold on the line, and we'll get you Michael, get your information so that we can connect you by email and get more information. Chris.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for asking, goodbye. And thank you for joining us. Before we go to the break, I want to make sure we talk. Let me do this. Oh, take him off there. Don't let me hang up on him. Can you get him? There we go. And let me get one more caller. Do I have enough time for this caller, or do I need to go to break? Okay. This will be quick. All right. Hi, Angela.
Hi. I just wanted to call in for my auntie. I love her.
Aww.
And I'm so proud of you.
She's so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
That's your Angela.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Angela. That's my niece.
I know.
Hi, Angie.
Good to hear from you, Angela. Your auntie is awesome. Have a great night. We have to run to the break, all right? But happy
all
new
right.
year.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
Reminders.
You're listening Pretty Late. Deborah, before you head out and get some rest before you work out at 8 in the morning, can you please tell listeners once again about your event coming up on Monday and how they can find out more information?
Monday, January 23rd at the Forest Park Community Center from 6 to 8, and you can contact The Answer Incorporated at 708-296-5651. We have an array of services. We have a couple of programs coming up. Tutoring program for children age 13 to 17. That's going to start in February. Exercise and dance program. Sponsoring kids to camp. My husband has a men's group that focuses on fathers that are dealing with special needs. So we have a lot going on. So I know we couldn't get a lot in 30 minutes, but we did talk about
it. Oh, you got it all. And we'd love to have you back again. I know it was.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you so much for having me.
I would be almost intimidated to have you and Holly in at the same time.
Oh, that would just be awesome. We would have to have the whole show. We can have the guys here.
Yeah,
we got to have
the whole show. I'm sorry. I'm stuck on this. Let me just address why I was quiet for a moment. Can I? And then I'll do the live read. The first text that we got is a question that and the listener from the 815 is saying, honestly wondering this, not trying to be rude. And so I was trying to I don't think that I've ever been asked this question. And when I see something, I have to once it's in my head, it's sort of hard for me to process. So I am not. This is going back earlier to our conversation with Deborah Vine. I have a son with significant disabilities. My son will never be independent. He will be in my care and the care of others for the rest of his life. And I'm not saying that as though I've given up hope. It's just being practical and planning ahead, staying strong and staying on a mission. So the listener asks, I am not trying to sound rude or judgmental, but I've always wondered, do you ever feel like your children, their existence is worth the experience of what you go through? Like, in the end, do you get the same joy from them that you give them? And that's Scott, that's why I got stuck and you heard some silence there before I was able to do the live read. And I think that, you know what, that's a very, and I'm going to be extremely vulnerable for just a moment, if you'll bear with me, because I don't often talk about going to therapy. I had to stop for a while because my therapist started crying and having to hug me when I was done. And I thought, well, I don't really know who's getting more out of this, you or me. I had one therapist who, when we ended the session, went, oh my God, I'm exhausted. So to answer your question, as I go through everything, my son inspires me to be a better mom, to work harder, not just for him, for other families that I know. When I've told this story before, when the Oprah Winfrey Network came to town and we did a short series with them, I had the pleasure of doing a series called My Life as a Joke. And they actually did follow a little bit of a day in my life. And we showed what it's like to raise a little boy like Declan. At the time, he was only 7 years old. And, you know, I don't always say that he has hypoplasia of the corpus callosum. Those are a lot of really big, scary words, ones that I hope that you never have to learn. But those of you who are going through this disorder and that diagnosis, you know that it is unexplainable to people because it affects every patient differently. But when we filmed that, my husband was extremely brave to share our lives. He is very, very defensive with our privacy, does not like to expose who we are. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but my being in the limelight a little bit, as it were, But I really wanted to not show other families like, hey, we're doing it. Why can't you? It was more, this is what we do. This is how we go through our day. This is my son being able to pick up a Cheerio. And at 7 years old, that's a huge accomplishment because we never thought he'd be able to use his pincher fingers. That's what they call it, a pinching action, as a fine motor skill. And we, you know, I was sitting down with him at a table. If you go to the Oprah Winfrey Network site, I think that it's still there and you can watch some of the parts of our life that we were able to share. Now, when we finished filming that and we started doing our media tour, we went to NBC, we were at you know, a lot of different radio stations, including Nick D's show. And that week, a mother in San Francisco was sentenced to 15 years in prison because she had taken the life of her young son. He was 4 years old and had been diagnosed with autism. And after many attempts at therapy, $75,000 towards all different kinds of specialists, she felt that he wasn't getting any better. And she had planned to take her own life as well and was unable to. She drowned him and brought him to the police station and said, I have killed my son. And that was a moment where I thought, I need parents to know that there is hope. And it may not be the same journey or the same path that I am on, but there are ways to not only make it, but to really find a way to find the joy. And I can't speak for every family. I know that it is hard. It is a struggle. The state of Illinois is not making it any easier. But to the point about my therapist, there was one day I came in and I was completely beside myself because I had had a dream. And in my dream, my son was killed in a car accident. And I told my therapist in the dream, I was relieved. And I woke up absolutely angry at myself. And I woke up and I ran into Declan's room and he was fine. And it was so bizarre because that was the only time in his entire life that I had imagined him dying and felt any relief. And that was really hard for me to understand, to comprehend. So I don't know if it's an answer to your question, but I guess it sort of taps into that moment that I had, because most of the time I always think I don't want to die first. I have to live longer than my son. I have to be there for him every single day because he is worth living for. And I think that his life is worth being here for, and not just worth, but it has really made my world a much bigger place, a happier place. I find so much joy in the things that he finds joy in. So I don't know if that answers your question, but there you have it. Can I take a quick break before I do the Con a Second, Dylan, or do I not have everything queued up? I have to just keep talking? I do. I'm going to keep talking. It's okay, Mike. I got it.
But, you know, I really appreciate that you shared that story because it's what an important thing to, you know, share to people who really don't understand what parents and people in these children's life need to go through. It's important to realize that, you know, not everyone has all the answers and all the right things to do or say.
Well, and people, and that's what he even said. I'm not trying mm-hmm. to be rude. It strikes me that someone was, and he was very earnestly trying to say,
yeah,
I don't mean to be rude. And so, Scott, I was trying to take a moment of like, there are so many different ways to answer that. And the mm-hmm. first is to be defensive on my side, right? But that goes to the problem that we're all having is that we're not listening to each other. So I'm sure that we have a listener out there that is, again, angry and offended that I'm talking about my son. But if there's one person that sees another family like mine at the grocery store or at the zoo, at the airport, and thinks, I can't even imagine what that's like, I'm giving you a little glimpse of what it's like. And I want everyone, not just for special needs families, but for everyone to go, you know, that person's life is probably harder than I can even imagine. And mm-hmm. getting mad at them serves me no purpose. And also, when Deborah said earlier, I don't know if anyone, I was having a moment because she was talking about how her son will never grow up to be in a gang. He'll never hurt anybody. And that's true of my son, too. But I'd had those thoughts earlier in the week. And when I told her, the opposite is also true. And she jumped in because she wasn't going to go there because Deborah ain't playing. But the opposite is that I will never see my son fall in love. I will never see him have his own family. I will never see him get a job. I will never. But I mean, like, that's like some sort of measure that is arbitrary, right? All of this, you know what? All of this is made up. We've decided what the rules are. And you know what? My son lives by a different set of rules. Okay. So thank you.
And just let me make another quick mention. It's so true. And we're getting floods of texts right now saying that, you know, love you, Patty, from the 205 area code. So you have a lot of people who are supporting you. And if anybody wants to check out the Oprah segment that you had mentioned before, I'm putting that in tonight's podcast. So you can go there and check it out for Patty.
Well, thank you.
Anytime you want.
Thank you very much.